agree is touching any one thing. He said, I will do it. This morning, I believe that Alan has a special request for his friend David that's lost. Church, let's agree together right now, and let's pray for David. You say, well, that ain't going to make David get saved. No, but I tell you what, God gives each and every one of us free will choice. You have the choice of whether you're going to accept Jesus Christ or not. Tell you what we can do. We can pray that God will continue to have grace and mercy and lay conviction on his heart, that he'll feel the love and the power of God, and that he has the opportunity to be saved, and that God can even grant him that small measure of faith that it takes to accept Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm glad that you're here this morning, but do you know you don't have to be in God's house to be saved? I got saved at home in the living room right beside a recliner. I don't know where this man's at right now, but I know that even though I'm not there, that God can go where he's at right now and touch his heart. Church, if you'll agree with me, will you stand with me this morning? Let's agree and let's pray for this right now. Lord, we come to you, God, with a special request, God. You told us if any two of us would agree as to touching anything, God, that you would do it. God, I pray, dear Father, for David, God. God, you know the need, God. You know the need for salvation, God. You know what's holding him back, God. You know all the things maybe that's going on in his life, God, that's keeping him, God, from making that choice to receive salvation. I pray that you'll go where he's at right now. God, I pray as we agree together, God, that you will go where he's at, that you'll convict his heart, that you'll pour love out on him, that your Holy Spirit will be exactly where he's at, that you will draw him, God. I pray for all of our lost loved ones. I know I have many, as each and every one of us do, that are standing here this morning, that we agree together, God, and ask you, dear Father, just to have mercy on them, to give them another opportunity, to keep your hand of safety on them until they have an opportunity to come to know Jesus Christ. We thank you for the opportunity to be saved, and we thank you that we are your children this morning. In Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. As you're standing, take your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms chapter number 100. Psalms chapter number 100, and let's read together this morning in the Word of God. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Thank you. You may be seated this morning as we read Psalms chapter number 100. I don't know if I'll be preaching very long this morning or not. I don't know if I can get unexcited enough to preach this morning. I just don't know. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning and glad to be with you, my church family. Glad to be in the presence of God this morning. I want you to know that I know without a doubt that God is here with us this morning. Amen, church. Amen. I feel his presence, but other than that, I brought him to church with me this morning. And I hope that you did. As we're here together this morning, and we see here in Psalms chapter number 100, there are some instructions, very simple verses of scripture in the Bible this morning, but very meaningful scriptures in the Bible this morning. As we read Psalms chapter number 100, we see some things that God is calling us to do and giving us a cause in order to do those things. Let's go back to verse number 1. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Let's turn over to Psalms chapter number 95. I want us to look at this joyful noise that the Lord requires or calls us into. You know, a lot of us were brought up in church and we're supposed to be quiet in church, wouldn't we? But it was because we were playing and picking and doing things that we shouldn't do. I want you to know that when I was little, I used to build the best fort out of song hymnals of anybody there ever was. I'd pull them out from under the pews and I'd make big olds, and Mama would let me do that as long as I remained quiet, until I got to be a certain age. And then as I got to be a certain age, I was no longer interested in songbooks. I was interested in passing tic-tac-toe back and forth between me. Some of you youngins don't even know what tic-tac-toe is anymore. That used to be entertainment. Now y'all got these magic boxes that you play on all the time. But we used to pass tic-tac-toe back and forth. And then, you know, as we got a little older, the next thing you know, I was moving backwards in the church. I wanted to sit behind Mama. I wanted to get to where Mama couldn't see me. Daddy could always see us because he was in the pulpit. But he was concentrating on preaching, and I don't think he was really looking at us that much. So I wanted to get behind Mama because I was sick and tired of when I leaned over to whisper to my friend, my ear getting twisted just like it. It's amazing that I've even got ears anymore. If they stick out a little bit, that's what it's from Mama twisting my ear. And then every now and again, I would get over there. I remember at Rock Hill, we had pews that went this way, and then we had two Sunday school rooms that went this way. And if you could get over here with the teenagers in this side Sunday school room, you were the coolest. You were in the in crowd if you could get over there in that side Sunday school room during preaching. But Mama sat where she could see that side. And when she looked at me and she said, "This right here," I knew there was trouble when I got home. I was taught to be quiet in the house of the Lord. And I know I'm talking about a different kind of quiet this morning. Do you know what I believe a lot of Baptists have got in our minds, or a lot of Christian people have got in our minds, that we're supposed to come into this place and we're supposed to be quiet. We've come in here and we think that, you know what, I'm supposed to just come in here and I'm going to take up my space here in this church pew. I'm going to come in here and I'm just going to be real quiet. Maybe nobody even know I'm there. During fellowship time, I'm not going to shake hands with anybody. And you say, "Well, preacher, what's wrong with that?" Well, how are you supposed to get to know anybody? I've even noticed that some of our fellowshipians that have been here forever, you don't fellowship anymore. Hey, I don't know. I know there's still sickness and all that mess, but we have allowed that to keep us from doing what we should do. There's a lot of you, you see a visitor on the other side of the church, and we won't even go shake their hand and say, "Hey, I'm glad that you're here with us this morning." Why would anybody in the world want to come to a place where they don't feel welcome, where people don't speak to them, where they don't come in and somebody say, "Hey, I'm glad that you're here this morning"? Fellowship, I want you to know it's time for us to go to be in the church that God has called us to be. Come in here and praise the Lord, worship the Lord, welcome our visitors, and come to church not to just take up space on a pew, but to let God know that you're here. It's not about me knowing that you're here, but let God know you're here. Is he not worthy of your praise this morning? Amen. As we see here, and it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." Let's go to Psalms chapter number 95. Let's read a little bit about this joyful noise. That joyful noise is to shout joyfully. Some of you have never been in a church where people shouted. How many ever has been in a church where people shouted? Amen. I tell you what, if you ain't saved, that'll scare the devil out of you and make you want to get saved. And some people say, "Well, I remember my dad was preaching a revival one night." I can tell you the man's name. Harris Easter was sitting in front of us, and his little grandson was sitting beside of him, and he's probably 7 or 8 years old. And man, the Holy Spirit got to moving in that service, and old preacher Harris Easter, he jumped up and just, whoa, I mean, just shouted like crazy. Some of you that was scared to death, you're going to be scared in heaven, is all I can tell you. But that little grandson was sitting there beside of him, and when Harris Easter shouted, he went, just like that. I mean, he jumped plumb around in his pew. Me and my dad were sitting behind him, and we got tickled. I didn't think Daddy was going to be able to preach that. Now, we couldn't look at each other. It was one of those times if you just look at each other, you'd get tickled again. That me and Daddy, we just had to just zone out and not look at each other because that little boy jumped. But I want you to know something. There is nothing wrong with shouting for the glory of God. The Lord lays a shout on your heart, you'll know it. And if you don't shout when the Lord tells you to shout, you'll know it when you leave here. I've shared my experience before, but I know without a doubt 2 times in my life that God has laid a shout on my heart, and neither time did I do it, and both times I've taken whippings from the Lord. Both times I got out, and it was like the Lord said, "Am I not worthy for you to praise me? Am I not worthy for you to shout for my glory?" That make a joyful noise is to shout joyfully. Psalms chapter number 95. I said I wasn't going to preach long this morning, but I may have told a story. Y'all pray for me. "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God." Amen. He is a great God and a great King above all gods. "In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will, hear his voice." As we see, there is reason for us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So one thing that we're instructed here in Psalms chapter number 100 is to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. This morning, if you've come in here just to take up space, if you've come in here just to breathe oxygen and for people to know out of habit to come to church, I want you to know something this morning. you're missing out on the true reason to come to God's house. I tell you what, during the week, this world will drag you down. You'll get your mind in places that it don't need to be. You'll get your thoughts in places that it don't need to be. And it's just the way that the world works. It's not that you go looking for it, but it comes and finds you, don't it? I tell you what, you go out here in this world, but I want you to know, as I come into the house of the Lord this morning, this is a place where I can gather with like-minded people, with my church family, and I can come in here and worship the Lord. Hey, I know that this world thinks I'm a fruitcake. Hey, I know that they think that I'm weird. I know that they think that, hey, I hope they think that I'm peculiar because that's what God has called me to be. But when we go out here in this world, they don't understand why we love God. They don't understand why we do the things that we do or why we don't do the things that we don't do. But I want you to know you're in here with like-minded people this morning. Church, if we judge people for worshiping the Lord, if we judge people for joyfully shouting unto the Lord, our hearts are in the wrong place and we're not being the church that God wants us to be. Amen. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I tell you what, there's nothing more joyful than a good shout. There was a little lady at Pine Ridge Church. Her name was Roxy. Roxy was blind. Roxy is blind. She can't see a thing. Her husband passed here a little while. And I want you to know when we get to singing a song and the Spirit of the Lord get on her, and maybe I was sitting there thinking about how bad I had it, how bad life was, how broke I was, how I didn't have all the things I wanted to have. And there sat little Roxy, and she didn't have even eyesight to go out here in this world. Her and Billy didn't have a whole lot. And the Spirit of the Lord would get on to her, and I can still see it. She'd stand up there in her pew, and she'd run and clap and scream all at the same time. I tell you what, I believe if she could have seen where she was going, she'd have made a lap or two. And there was nothing that thrilled my heart more than to be in the presence of somebody giving God glory there in the church house. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. I tell you what, he don't just instruct us to make a joyful noise, but to serve the Lord with gladness. Do you serve the Lord? And better yet, do you serve the Lord with gladness? I tell you, sometimes we do the things that we do because we just know that other people expect us to do it. You know what? I come in here sometimes and I preach just because I know y'all expect me to preach. I come in here and my heart's not in the right place, and I'm not talking about that I'm living in sin. I'm just talking about I didn't come here ready to serve the Lord with gladness. I didn't come here ready to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I had a tough week or whatever you want to say. Things may be troubling or whatever, and I come in here and I'm not ready to do what God's called me to do. And I just come in here and just do it because I'm expected to do it. Well, church, I want to tell you something, that we need to get to the place that we can serve the Lord with gladness. Be happy about what you're doing. Hey, we went riding horses for a few days this week. If any of you text me since about Tuesday about 5 o'clock, you hadn't got me. Because I've been in Mount Rogers and I don't have no cell service. Hallelujah, that's close to heaven right there. I've been up there since about Tuesday night riding horses. Well, the other day we were riding. I can't tell. When you go somewhere and you forget what day it is, that's when you know you're in the right place and having a good time. I don't remember what day it was, but we were riding our horses. And I had my father-in-law with me, and my nephew both was with me. My father-in-law, he was up on his horse, and he rides a great old big tall horse. And he has trouble getting in and on and off his horse every now and again. Got to find a log. I make fun of him because he can't get on his horse. But he got wrapped up in an old vine. There was a vine hanging out around the trail, and his horse stepped right through the middle of it. And when he did, the vine come up around his belly, and he was trying to back out of it and getting tangled up. Well, I was getting off my horse. I was right behind him. And I was going to go help him, and I went over there, and as I was starting to get off my horse, my nephew come running past me. He's 20 years old. That's what them youngins are for anyway. He come running past me. He dropped his horse, and he grabbed that vine, and he got it jerked back down to where the horse could step through it. It was about to be an awful wreck, and he got that, and somebody, as he was walking back to his horse, he done it with gladness. He was happy to go help Papa get out of that vine, and as he was coming back to his horse, somebody said, "That was real nice of you to go into action that fast and go up there and help your papa." Well, the horse that my nephew was riding, Papa had given him. And he said, "Well, he has given me this horse. That was the least that I could do." You know what? When we look at what God's done for us, serving him with gladness is the least that we can do. Hey, we're not making no great big accomplishment. We're not putting no check mark beside of our names. The Lord has done so much for me. If he never done anything else other than save me and forgive me of my sins and redeem me and write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, he is worthy of me serving him with gladness for the rest of my days. He is worthy of us serving him with gladness this morning.
Amen, brother.
After my nephew said, Well, he's giving me the horse. That's the least that I could do. I said, well, if you'd have waited just a few more minutes, you might could have got his horse, the horse trailer, the truck, and the lamb if you'd have left him tangled up a few more minutes. Of course, my daddy-in-law looked at me and said, thank you. I appreciate that. Serve the Lord with gladness. Have a good time in the Lord's house. If you come to God's house and it's all frowns and downs, hey, and I know sometimes God sends tough messages. He steps all over my toes. He pricks my heart. But hallelujah that he loves me enough and he cares me enough to woo me back to where I'm supposed to be. Serve the Lord with gladness. Let's continue reading. Come before his presence with singing. Hey, that you ever heard of Psalms chapter number 122 and verse number 1? I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. If you ain't glad to come to church, I really believe there's something wrong with your relationship with God. Oh, preacher, I can be saved and not come to church. Amen, you sure can. You can jump out of an airplane without a parachute too, but the landing ain't going to be that great. Coming to the house of the Lord is somewhere that I want to be. It's somewhere that I desire to be. Hey, do I always feel like coming to church? Absolutely not. Some Wednesday nights are the hardest in the world. I get off of work. I go home and I try to get a few last thoughts down. I try to get just a little bite of supper, maybe, or I may not. And then I get ready and I run to the house of the Lord. And the whole time I'm thinking, man, I just love to go home and just sit down and just rest and be easy tonight. I'm tired. I've worked all week. But I want you to know something. When I walk in this place, and I get to be with my church family, and I get to be in the presence of God, and I see the power that's in the Word of God, that's better refuge than sitting on my couch any day of the week. That is a place that I desire to be. We need to come to the house of the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. Now He gives us the why. He gives us the what. Now He gives us the why. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. That settles it right there. I think it was last week that I said something about talking to your children and telling them they couldn't do something, and they say, why? And you give them that blunt answer, because I said so. Right? Well, if you want to look and you want to say, well, why should I shout unto the Lord? Why should I serve the Lord with gladness? Why should I come into His presence with singing? Let me give you a point blank answer right here, verse number 3. Because the Lord, He is God. And go to another verse of Scripture, and beside Him, there is none other. Who else are you going to serve? Who else are you going to call on? Where else are you going to go? He asked the disciples, he looked at them and he said, to where are you also going to go away? And they looked at him and said, but Lord, to where shall we go? I want you to know there's nowhere else to go. That God is God. That He is an awesome God. That He is a God that loves you and a God that cares about you. He is a God, and beside Him there is none other. It is He that made us. The Bible teaches us that you are, He says, I will praise the Lord because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And you know, I'm thankful that He allowed me to be born. I'm thankful that He allowed me to live. But I'm so much more thankful that He allowed me to be born again. That this morning that I belong to Him because of Jesus Christ. It is He that made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. I got a little ways to go yet, church. If you're tired and don't hear no more preaching, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 exits. Help yourself. Because I'm going to be here a little while. Do y'all want to be here with me? Amen. This horseback riding is good for me. I'll just tell you right now. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. There's you a why to make a joyful noise, to serve the Lord, to come into His presence with singing. Don't just be here. Don't be just a body in the church. Don't just take up space. Oh, yes, I'll go to church at Fellowship Baptist Church. That's wonderful. But what are you doing to further the kingdom of God in Fellowship Baptist Church? What are we doing for the ministry of God here at Fellowship Baptist Church? Verse number 4. This is really the message right here. It took me this long to get here. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. There's 3 more things that He tells us to do. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise and be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Church, we shouldn't wait till we come to the house of God, till we hear some good singing, till we hear the Word of God, to start worshiping the Lord. The Bible says to enter into his gates. You should have been praising the Lord when you walked in those doors right back there. Now, I know there's weeks that I don't feel like praising the Lord, and I can come in here and I can get some help. Hallelujah. But out of all of us that are in here, I don't know how many's here today, 200 or so. I don't have a clue. But I want you to know, out of all of us that are here, there should be just at least a handful of us that can come in those doors already worshiping the Lord, already praising the Lord, already thankful unto the Lord, already giving him glory, already magnifying him, because we know how good he is to us, because we know what he's done for us, because we know that we are his children. You shouldn't have to wait here to be turned on for the glory of God. You shouldn't have to wait till you get here for somebody to spike your feelings a little bit so you'll give God glory. I shouldn't have to wait till I get here and somebody sing a song that puts a fire in my heart. I should come into this place ready to worship the Lord. Amen. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Hey, I was riding my horse the other day. My horse got a little slow. Sometimes I make him a little slow so I can get back there by myself. And I had some good old bluegrass gospel music playing in my saddlebags. I turned it way down low where nobody else could hear it but me. And I was riding along, and I was like, Lord, I don't even know how to thank you. I don't even know how to. I mean, look at this beautiful creation that you've given us, this opportunity that you give me to come out here and ride my horse for the family I've got back home. I've got all of these wonderful things. And I thought about a word that one of my deacons tells me a whole lot. We got a deacon that just won't tell me he loves me. I don't know what's wrong with him, but he just will not tell me he loves me. And I look, and I was sitting there thinking about that. And I said, but there's a word that he always tells me that is a little bit even deeper. Because as I was riding my horse, I said, Lord, I don't want to just tell you thank you. I want to tell you that I love you. I want to tell you that I want to magnify you. God, I want to glorify you. And the word that came to my mind was this old country word. And I was riding my horse, and I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit fell. Ain't you glad God goes with you everywhere you go? The Holy Spirit fell right there. I know my hair stood up on my arms, and I'm pretty sure my horse's hair stood up. The Holy Spirit fell right there. I sat there, and I said, Lord, I just want to tell you that I appreciate you. Man, that's an old country word that we use and we throw it around a whole lot. But I want you to know this morning that I want the Lord to know that I love him. But I don't just love him. I'm thankful for all that he's done for me. That I want to glorify him. That I want to magnify him. That I want to lift him up. God, I just want to appreciate you for saving an old sinner like me. God, I just want to appreciate you for all the things that you've given me. But most of all, God, I just want to appreciate you for saving an old sinner like me. That without hope, without any way to get out of my sins, without anything to offer unto God, without being able to live a righteous life, that God loved me so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, that one day I'm going to come back on horses with him. I'm so thankful that if you don't ride horses, you better saddle up and get ready, because one day we're coming back with him. And I want you to know that he is King of Kings, he is Lord of Lords, and he deserves our worship this morning. Amen. Why do I appreciate him? I'll be done right here. Hannah, would you come on and get us a song? God's amazing grace still amazes me, by the way. Amen. Listen to this. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Listen, here's the why. For the Lord is good. Has anybody ever experienced the goodness of God? Oh, yeah. Amen. Man, I've experienced the goodness of God. The choir singing this morning, Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Man, I tell you what, there's been some good things that's happened to me in my life. There's been a whole lot of good things, but there's nothing better than the night that I was 7 years old and God loved me and God convicted me and God spoke to my heart and I got up and went in there and accepted him as my Savior. I want you to know this morning that I'm not worthy. I wasn't worthy as a 7 year old. I'm not worthy as a 42 year old. I've never been worthy nowhere in between, but because of the goodness of God, that he loved me so much that he allowed me to receive salvation. But not only that, all through my life has been full of his goodness. For the Lord is good. Listen to this next one. For his mercy is everlasting. You've experienced his goodness. Have you ever experienced his mercy? Amen. You know what? There's been a lot of times along the way. I went this weekend. I took my horse up there. And as soon as I got up there, somebody said, is that horse for sale? I said, we'll see how he does this weekend. I'd never taken him off riding before. I just bought him last year, and it's the first time I'd ever really taken him off. I said, we'll see how he does this weekend. I'll let you know Saturday whether he's for sale or not. And I was judging him pretty hard in my mind. He done real good. I brought him back home. But it was going to be about how he performed this weekend, whether or not I would let him go. Aren't you glad that it's not up to God about how we perform, of whether or not he's going to let us go? I tell you what, I've experienced the mercy of God. I don't have a lot of mercy on my horse. When he acts up, I straighten him out. And don't get me wrong, I've been chastised by God. But I want you to know that I've experienced the mercy of God. There's been times that if I was God, I would have let me go. There's been times that in my Christian life, hey, I've been saved since I was 7. Some of y'all got saved a little later in life. Y'all run through your wild teenage years, done what you wanted to do. And you had some conviction from God. But then later in life, you accepted Jesus Christ. Do you know, I went through that time of temptation and trouble and all those things with the Holy Spirit grinding on me the whole time. With the Holy Spirit saying, no, pull the reins back. With the Holy Spirit saying, no, that's not right. Let's not do that. I'm so thankful. But you know what? Even in those times, there was times that I ignored the Holy Spirit, that I grieved the Holy Spirit in my life, and I done what I wanted to do. And if I was God, I'd have said, I'm going to let you go. Yeah. But thank God for his mercy.
Amen.
Thank God.
Thank you.
I don't deserve mercy, but I'm so glad that God had mercy on me. I'm almost done. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Aren't you glad that God don't change the rules on us? That it's always been as simple as Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. That it's always been as simple as believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing with your mouth. That it's always been as simple as realizing that you're a sinner and asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. To get saved. I'm glad that his truth endureth to all generations. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. You may be saying, well, preacher, that all sounds good, but you don't understand me. I'm in a storm. How am I going to be thankful in a storm? I have troubles. Life is tough. Amen, it sure is. But you know, in John chapter 16, verse number 33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That you can rejoice and serve the Lord with gladness and sing and shout unto the Lord, because he has overcome any problem that you'll ever face. But you don't understand, preacher, I have pain. I have sickness. There's been death in my family. You're right, I don't understand where you're at. I may not have never walked where you are, but let me tell you something that God said in Revelation chapter number 21 and verse number 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I tell you what, this morning, church, we can give him glory and worship his name for the promises that's in his word. Preacher, I'm here this morning. And I'm having trouble. I'm in a bad place. I'm not right with God this morning. Preacher, I can't give him glory right now. I'm going through something. Preacher, I need you to pray for me. Would you just slip up your hand and I'll pray for you? That's all I'll do. I'll not come to you. I see your hand. You put it right back down. I see your hand. Put it right back down. Anyone else? Preacher, I'm going through something. And I need help. Would you just slip up your hand? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, well, preacher, I know without a doubt that I'm saved. I know, but I'm not giving God glory like I should. I'm not worshiping him like I should. I'm not entering into his gates with praise and thanksgiving. I'm kind of in a humdrum place, and preacher, I want you to pray for me. Would you just slip up your hand and let me pray for you? Hands all over the church. You're not alone. Preacher, I'm here this morning. I've never been saved. I'm never coming to ask Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins. Well, let me tell you something. His truth is still true and his mercy endures forever. There is no time The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Preacher, I've never been saved. I don't want to die and stand before God the way that I am. I don't want to die and stand before God knowing that I have rejected salvation, knowing that I'll spend eternity in hell. Preacher, I don't know that I can come today. But preacher, I want you to pray for me. I don't want to die lost. Would you just slip up your hand and let me pray for you? That's all I'll do. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. I won't call your name out. Lord, you know and I don't. Lord, I want to thank you and I want to praise you for all that you do. God, I want to thank you for being here with us this morning. God, I want to thank you that you loved us. God, I pray that you'll help us to give you glory. God, I pray for the hands that was raised this morning. You know the needs. God, I pray that you'll just move in their lives. Help them, God, to have courage and come and pray if that's what they need to do this morning. God, I pray again, if there's one here that's lost that maybe didn't even have the courage to raise their hand, God, I pray that you'll be with them, convict them for our friends and families that are lost. God, I pray that you'll help them to see their need for a Savior. God, I just want to thank you for loving an old sinner like me. God, I want to give you glory. God, I want to magnify you. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. You will stand with me this morning as they sing. This altar is open. If you need to come and pray, if you need to come and pray for somebody that's lost, come and pray. If you need to come and pray that God help you to give him glory, come and pray. This altar is open. God cares about my English. Ain't God good, church? Amen. If you got a need, don't leave here without it being met. Catch me, catch somebody else, have that need met. Thank God for his mercy. I'm going to have them dismiss us this morning with singing this chorus again. Y'all welcome to try to help them. But I want you to know this morning that God's grace is amazing. If you've never experienced it, you need to know God's grace. I love you and I hope you have a good week. Pray for one another that we'll all be what God would have us to be. I'll see you Wednesday night.